This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guests are singer and rapper CeeLo Green and composer, musician, and producer Danger Mouse. Together, they comprise the duo Gnarls Barkley. Their music is hard to describe. Music critic Greg Tate writes, "It sounds like an antique shop where dusty albums by Ennio Morricone, The Fifth Dimension, and Reverend C.L. Franklin, Aretha's father, are always playing on three turntables." Jody Rosen in Slate describes CeeLo as singing in the voice of the world's loneliest man. CeeLo started off as a rapper in the Atlanta-based group The Goody Mob. Danger Mouse first became known for his now-famous mashup called The Gray Album, a hybrid of the Beatles' White Album and Jay-Z's Black Album. He's also produced albums by Gorillaz, The Black Keys, and Beck. Gnarls Barkley's first album, St. Elsewhere, had the tormented-sounding hit Crazy. Their new album, The Odd Couple, has a song in that vein called Who's Gonna Save My Soul? Let's hear it.
Got some bad news this morning, which in turn made my day. When this someone spoke, I listened. All of a sudden has less and less to say. Oh, how could this be? When all this time I've lived vicariously. Who's gonna save my soul? Somebody.
That's Gnarls Barkley from the new CD, The Odd Couple.
That's a good song.
Yeah, it's a great song. Danger Mouse, CeeLo Green, welcome to Fresh Air. It's really great to have you here. This is such a kind of chilling and moving and desolate sounding song. I'm interested in your method of working together. Danger Mouse, do you do the music first? Is that the way it works?
Yeah, for the most part, that's how it's done, yeah. The music is done first, and then I'm always giving CeeLo lots of music to listen to see what he reacts to.
So CeeLo, when you heard this track, what did you like about it? Why did you choose this as the one you wanted to write a melody for? And I guess what I'm particularly interested in is usually the melody comes first, whereas when you're working, like you're writing the melody and the lyrics over an instrumental bed that's already been written. That's a very unusual way of working.
Yeah, I'd say. And although it's very solemn, you know what I'm saying, like it was still exciting because these were the first couple of things that Danger had done and was presenting to me as a new direction, you know. And what interests me lyrically is whatever lyrics or scene Danger may have had in mind as he produced, you know, the track itself. And it always makes me wonder what would he have written if he wrote the songs, you know?
Do you ask him that?
No, not directly. You know,
we don't usually talk too much about what goes into the stuff because we kind of already know by the time it comes out. We know what it came from being around each other. And so we don't really have discussions beforehand about, okay, let's do a song about this or let's do a song about that. That never happens.
So
never.
What made you think Who's Gonna Save My Soul?
Well, it was written about James Brown and it's just the loss of a hero. And so many are lost in the line of duty. And I think with heroes, of course, you know, they do know what they contribute and what they cause and something like that, but I think by default they do cause a dependency, you know what I'm saying, when I think it's a bit of their aspiration, you know, for you to believe in yourselves or believe in just other possibility. So I have to be an example, you know. I have to do it for myself.
So if this track was inspired by James Brown, And as a tribute to him after his death, I guess that explains why you were wearing a kind of James Brown wig on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, people have been associating the new sound of a record with the late 60s, you know, early 70s, you know, that era. And it's a very comfortable place to be in for us. And so it wasn't just about James Brown, but it does fit so perfectly, yeah.
CeeLo, did you know all along that you could sing like this? I mean, you got started in a hip-hop group where you basically rapped. And I think a lot of your fans were surprised by what a really soulful singer you were. I mean, did you know this all along, that you had this in you?
Yes.
Did you feel frustrated that you weren't, like, letting it out in the music that you were making on record in quite this way?
I did. But at the time, I just felt like, you know, first things first. I thought that the ability or the aspiration was probably not in vain, you know, and I had always felt very purposed, and there was a point to me having, you know, these attributes or these feelings or these notions, these impulses, you know, so these inner visions, so to speak. I felt like we conveyed just as much soul, you know, hip-hop-wise with Goody Mob and so on and so forth, but with emceeing, it's a lot more limiting, you know what I mean, the things that you can do. And I always say that with melody and harmony, it's much more infinite possibility. You can stretch it and twist it and turn it and bend it into so many other shapes and fashions, you know, and which is just a lot more gratifying for me as an artist.
Well, we just heard Who's Gonna Save My Soul. I want to contrast that with one of the more kind of, you know, upbeat, really lively tracks on the new CD. So I thought we'd hear Charity Case. So let's give it a listen, and then we'll talk about it. So this is the opening track from the new Gnarls Barkley CD, The Odd Couple.
Moment, but that's all that matters to me. How are
Charity Case, the opening track from the new Gnarls Barkley CD, The Odd Couple. And my guests are CeeLo Green and Danger Mouse, the duo of Gnarls Barkley. I guess one of the things I really like about Gnarls Barkley is the layers of sound and how many different things are going on in a track. And I guess, Danger Mouse, I'm wondering how you started hearing and thinking that way, in that kind of multi-layered way.
It's kind of when you don't, I don't know a whole lot about music theory, and I think that when you don't know the shortcuts to things and you have to take the long way, there's some interesting stuff along the way that happens, a lot of happy accidents. So in order for me to make something sound what I think is passable as, you know, competent music, I have to really take the long way myself. So I wind up layering things over and over and over again, kind of to cover up my playing or cover up my limitation. You know, I've been messing around a lot on drums recently, been trying to anyway, but all you need is a good loop and you're okay. And then, you know, I dabble around bass and keyboards and organs and all that kind of stuff. So, and I've always been into kind of music that sounds visual. And I think that with a lot of layers, it kind of complements you to kind of think in your own head and have your own vision for something, as opposed to picturing the people playing any one instrument. You know, I don't want somebody to picture somebody playing any one particular instrument. I want them to have their own kind of dream or their own kind of vision for any kind of music that they hear.
So what was the music that inspired you early on?
To actually start making music was when I started getting into, I guess, what people would call classic rock stuff. The Beatles, Pink Floyd, Jimi Hendrix, stuff like that. Just stuff that I had never really, I didn't grow up with that kind of music around me. I grew up more with Motown and 80s pop and hip-hop, basically. And so when I heard this stuff, it was really kind of new to me. And it made a lot of the other music I had been listening to make a lot more sense as well.
What did you hear in it that you hadn't heard before?
That's a there's no simple answer to that. It was just a whole world, really. But more than anything, I saw how closed off I had been, how purposely closed off I had been, because it would have been really different for me to listen to that kind of music in the environment that I was in at the time. And it just showed, the music was the main thing that showed me how much I needed to really break out of trying to be like everybody else.
So what was the environment that you were in that music you were listening to wouldn't have fit into?
A similar one, I think, as CeeLo. We both grew up in Atlanta, in metro Atlanta. And, you know, we went to predominantly black schools, and we listened to mostly hip-hop and booty shake and whatever our parents played, really.
Danger, did growing up in a period where a lot of hip-hop artists were sampling music make you hear music, do you think, in a different way than you might otherwise have, of hearing like music broken down to like discrete elements, to fragments that,
sure,
and then
sure.
make you think that you could create fragments and sample fragments and build them into a whole that was completely different than the fragments?
Sure. I mean, it's just like, you know, I was in the bathroom the other day looking at a picture, and I saw something in the picture that looked like a certain kind of face, and it was a child's face the way it was looking, but when you back away from it, it's not that at all. It was just a tree branch, you know, and the arm of a bear or something like that. But what I saw was that, and if I took that little piece and made a big picture out of it, then it would be the way I looked at it or what I saw that was beautiful about it or nice about it or whatever. And with music, it's a similar thing for me when it comes to sampling. I just want to work with stuff that's affecting me, and I never... It's not really my concern to kind of try to be the best guitar player or instrument player or anything like that. There's plenty of people who are great at that, and that's not going to be anything that would be, you know, that I could do anything with that would change anything. So I think for me with sampling, it's just about shamelessly finding something that you love and trying to make something new that other people will love out of it as well, that has a little bit of you in it. But, I mean, early on when you're making music, it can be difficult to judge yourself. And that was my way of, I guess, being able to kind of, whether it's judging or producing or whatever, was to start out with messing around with stuff that I knew was already pretty great.
Now, you were both born in the 70s. CeeLo, you spent all your childhood and early years in Atlanta and still live there. And... I read that your parents were both ministers, is that right?
Yes.
So did you grow up singing a lot in church?
Well, I didn't always sing, my father passed away when I was very young. I think I was about two when he passed, so I don't remember us going to church together, but I'm sure we did. I didn't really sing, but there was an awful lot of religion and spirit, you know, in my childhood.
I'm surprised to hear you didn't sing.
I used to be shy to sing. So my aunt, who is a vocalist as well, she was a singer at, I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, but it's called Aunt Fanny's Cabin here in Atlanta somewhere. And she overheard me singing in the shower one day, and she kind of encouraged me to. She said, "You got a nice voice," or whatever. But my stepfather used to play Jackie Wilson when I was young, and I was just telling somebody this story the other day of how I learned that I could sing by emulating and imitating the music that I adored, and then my voice would become at a point would become flush with Jackie's, to where I could distinguish his voice from mine, and I could emulate each riff and inflection. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and so I think that's how I essentially learned how to sing. You know, now learning to be myself, you know, so like it's a whole other story.
I want to play another track from the new Norris Barkley CD, and this is called Surprise. Could you tell us what you were thinking about when you put it together?
Yeah. One of the big purposes is with Norris is, to me, is to make something that doesn't sound, that's not very easily definable and has a certain sound to it. And for me, the best way that I've been able to do that is to mess around with a bunch of new music and old music, stuff that was recorded in studios 40 years ago with all kinds of different mic setups and everything, and then do the same thing and then mix that with something that's been brand new, and you're going to get a sound that you can't really plan or that can't be really copied in its own way. So it's to get a really, really distinct, individual, and very different sound. That's the way I found to do that, especially when you have a voice like his.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we wanted to set up some old session players and make a soul record, that'd be fine, but I don't think that would really do much except for show off.
Celia, you want to talk about writing the lyric for Surprise?
Well, yeah, I do. I think I just know danger in that way, and I do. There's always this bittersweet melancholy, you know, tension around it, you know, and it is beautiful, and it is encouraging, but then again it's there's a sadness to it too, and so therefore ultimately it is to be able to smile and to sing in the face of adversity, you know what I mean? But don't be surprised when adversity comes to challenge you.
Okay, well, let's hear Surprise from the new Gnarls Barkley record, which is called The Odd Couple. That's Surprise from the new Gnarls Barkley record, The Odd Couple. My guests are CeeLo Green and Danger Mouse of Gnarls Barkley. It's really a great track.
I like that one, too.
Danger, I'm wondering, you know, a lot of people knew you from the Grey album before they knew Gnarls Barkley. And the Grey album, for anybody who doesn't know, is your mashup, your combining of the Beatles' White Album and Jay-Z's Black Album.
Yeah.
And how do you think that affected perceptions of who you are as an artist?
I think that for me, I've had a lot of work to change that. You know, I was already a few songs in with CeeLo on the Gnarls stuff before I even did that record.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it was something that kind of was a quick little detour in what I was trying to do. But I think it's still a little bit early to tell. It's been a few years now, but I don't know if it's had the right effect that I was looking for or not, but I definitely had a purpose for why I did it. But
which was what?
Well, originally it was a couple of things. It was definitely an art project to kind of see what I could do with sampling, but at the same time it was kind of to show, it was a lot of things actually, but it was really to kind of to show how two seemingly very different things could fit together, both black and white, both, you know, musically, and a lot of those things. And, you know, I wanted to play it for my parents. I wanted to play it for certain friends who I know didn't like hip-hop, certain friends I know didn't like or know or care much about the Beatles. And I wanted to at least, you know, present it in that kind of way to make people think twice about what they think they already know. And that was what the idea was. And it obviously right. got turned into a lot of other copyright and all this other crap. But that was never really the intention for me.
Danger Mouse and CeeLo Green. Their duo Gnarls Barkley has a new CD called The Odd Couple. You can hear two tracks from it on our website, freshair.npr.